Welcome to Mackerel Moments. In this episode, we're speaking with non-constituency MP and member of the Opposition Workers' Party, Leon Pereira. We're sat outside the Library of Botany and Horticulture in the belly of the Singapore Botanic Gardens, and we'll be discussing speaking in the positive, a topic that must certainly feature in any opposition MP's daily grind. Leon, thank you very much for joining us here today and taking the time out to speak with us. How are you feeling today?
Well, positive would be the best way to describe it. And I just want to thank you, Carolyn and Mackerel, for having me on to share some of my thoughts. It's a good day, a little bit on the humid side, but it's great to be here in the Botanic Gardens.
So let's start with the very basics. Are you a positive person by nature?
Yes, I am. I'm an optimist by nature. And I think that is very important because, to a very large extent, the possibilities that lie ahead in our future are a function of our own confidence and belief in the possibility of change. If we think that things can't get better and can't change, then things will not get better. So I think the will and the mental attitude is very important to what really happens. So I think optimism is not just a matter of personality, it's also a matter of, you know, how serious are you to bring about change. The optimism or the lack of it can make all the difference. So I think for someone who wants to see positive change, then I think being an optimist is absolutely key. I think being an optimist is not at odds with being a realist. I think being an optimist, in fact, requires you to, as chess players would say, see the whole board. To see things the way they are, you have to be brutally, unflinchingly realistic and honest. And only then can you see what the potential is and believe in that and pursue that, you know, and have a passion for that. If you don't see the reality, then optimism is just naivete. It is just saccharine, sweet dreaminess, you know. But I think practical optimism is different. Practical optimism is really very much linked to, and it's the other side of the coin to realism. It's really seeing the possibility and understanding that, you know, your own optimism can make the difference.
What does speaking in the positive or living in the positive entail for you?
Well, that's where the realism comes in, I think. Living and acting, speaking in the positive is not purely just a question of will and attitude and you can do anything that you want, you can be anything you want at any time. It's really about seeing the potential and then believing in that potential. So one example that comes to mind is Michelangelo. So it is said that he did a lot of sculptures in marble and other materials like that, you know, which are incredibly detailed, very beautiful kind of sculptures in the 16th century, I believe. And it is said of him that he would start with just this block of marble. And people would say, there's so much work that you need to do to make the sculpture. And he says, no, the sculpture is already there. It's inside the marble. I just have to chip away the marble that is not necessary, that I don't need. You know, that's all. It's already there. I don't need to do anything except just chip away the stuff that I don't need. So I thought that's a kind of helpful attitude to have, to live in the positive, to speak in the positive. I think, firstly, you need to see the truth, see the reality of things, and you need to be very unflinching about that and very honest about that, you know. And a lot of us oftentimes are not now, because we like to believe comforting truths and believe in things that just make us feel better. I think that is a dimension there of human nature that wants to do that, but you have to be really very clear about the unvarnished truth. You know, you start from that, and next you have to also be clear about who you are, what your values are. You have to have that self-awareness, you know, what are your ideals, what are your values, and therefore what is your vision for the future, where do you want to go? If we don't know where we want to go, then we are never going to achieve anything, you know. We have to have that vision and that goal there. And then you have to marry the two. As Michelangelo did, you have to marry the two, and the two are married on the terrain of practical action. So you have that realism, you have that those ideals, and then you bring the two together. That's speaking in the positive. And, you know, the opposite of that is just not having one or the other. If you don't have the realism, then it's just naivete. It's bound to fail. If you don't have any ideals, then what you are is just accepting of whatever the reality is, completely not changing anything because you believe that things can't change, and because you believe things can't change, therefore it's much less likely they will change.
How does that concept of positivity come into your political life? How does that keep you going?
I think it was a natural progression. If you see the potential in things, then part of that is really seeing the potential in Singapore, in one's own society. And then, you know, you want to, it's a short step from there to say you want to do something about that. So I've always been minded towards a more democratic society, a society with greater political balance and accountability, a society which is not just balanced among parties, but even balanced in terms of the state vis-a-vis the private sector, civil society, independent citizen initiatives, and so on. A pluralistic society, which I think is a healthier society, rather than a society that is very much defined by everybody's relationship with the state, a society that is defined by that kind of vertical relationship, you know. And I think that that motivated me to want to do something, and many other people too. I think many other people who go into volunteer work, civil society work, political work, are motivated by similar kinds of concerns. I mean, what we want is really a country that is built to last, that is going to be better equipped to face the challenges of the 21st century, where we need more pluralism, where we need good ideas from everyone, where we need more participation from everyone. Because I think the solutions to tomorrow's problems will require everyone's buy-in and commitment. It's not just a question of coming up with a brilliant policy tweak and then pushing that down, but really we need everyone within that whole incredibly complex ecosystem that is society to really grasp what we need to do and contribute to that in their own way, you know, whether they agree with the policy or not, you know. So I think that that whole society involvement is key. When I took part in the GE 2015 and its aftermath, it was a very interesting experience because I saw a great deal of hopefulness, I saw a great deal of hopelessness at different times. And I remember doing walkabouts, house visits after the election in East Coast GRC. And there were many people who felt very, I don't know what the right word to use here is. I think disappointed is just too mild a word. I mean, they were very shattered, and some individuals, more than one, even said to me that they were going to migrate from Singapore because they had given up the hope of positive change. They had arrived at the view that nothing is going to change here. I think, you know, if I have different ideals about what I would like the society to be, then I will have to pursue them elsewhere. So I told them, please don't give up on Singapore. Don't ever do that, you know, because what Singapore can be is really a function of what you want and what you do and what we all want and what we all do, you know. I mean, we hold the key in our hands, we hold the solution in our hands to effect change. We should never fall into a pattern of thinking that nothing ever changes here, things are too entrenched. And we should also never fall into a pattern of not trusting one another to be a part of that change, you know. So I think that horizontal relationship among Singaporeans is also very, very key. Rather than have a petitionary culture, rather than, you know, building a democratic society being just about very vertical consultation and, you know, going to authorities and saying, this is my view, I hope you can take it into account. I think it should also be about people coming together and doing things to bring about change together. You know, it should be really at that horizontal dimension of people coming together and being a part of the change they would like to see, rather than just as atomized individuals just going to the authorities and saying, please listen to me, I have this idea, and this is my petition, you know. Let alone a kind of petitionary culture where people just petition for themselves or their own family. That's really another danger, that people give up on the hope of real change, so they retreat into private life. They may not migrate, but they retreat into private life. And they say, okay, I'm just going to focus on myself and my family, and, you know, insofar as I go into the public space and interact with the authorities, I am just going to ask for things for myself and my family. I'm going to ask for exceptions to be made for me, and so on and so forth. You know, so that is also another railway track that we should not go down. You know,
maybe you could give your comment on the place of civil society in Singapore, its importance, its significance. Are we giving it enough importance and significance? Do we take it seriously enough?
I think civil society has come a long way. There are so many amazing people who do very, very good work in civil society. We still have a lot of room to grow. If you look at how important and the role that civil society plays in public policy outcomes, for example, in Singapore versus maybe some other developed countries that we can think of. And if you look at the degree of organization in civil society, the number of people who are involved, and you know the work that they do, it's come a long way, but there's still more room to grow. And I certainly hope in the future we will see a society where civil society plays a much stronger role.
Could you define or distinguish the difference between a vertical relationship and the horizontal relationship?
Well, I think what I meant when I talked about vertical versus horizontal is that, of course, we engage with the government and the state, but what is just as important is horizontal relationships among Singaporeans trusting one another, Singaporeans doing things together to get things done. So I think that horizontal dimension is just as important as the vertical dimension, and we should never slide into a culture where all of us are just defined by the vertical dimension, which is then a short step away from saying that we have a very petitionary culture. It means we petition the authorities to bring about the things that we want. And then we can slide even further to a kind of petitionary culture where we just petition the authorities for things for ourselves and our families rather than for the society as a whole. So that is a tendency that we really have to avoid moving down. And I think we have to pull back a little bit and look at the horizontal relationships that we have with one another and strengthen that part of the equation more.
On the subject of trust, because you said there has to be trust among the people, I would imagine that there also has to be trust between the government and the people. Which brings me to my next question. Is there space for criticism?
Well, I think there's no doubt that there are concerns, and I think I've spoken to many people who do hold back some of their public criticisms because they are worried about the repercussions of that. And I think that comes from the history that we have gone through. In the past, we have seen things like defamation suits against opposition figures that bankrupted them. We have seen Internal Security Act arrests in 1987 and again in 88 and so on. And it's incidents like this that keep certain fears boiling away there. And when I do my groundwork, I also come across people who have views that they would like to express, but they hold back. I wouldn't say all people are like that, and I would like to think over time, you know, the number of people who express this kind of thing to me when I do my groundwork is getting less and less, that's my impression, but it's still there, you know. So you will get some people who look to the right and left, and then they will whisper something to me.
Let's talk about recycling in Singapore. There is a view that there's little to be positive about because not enough is being done at the policy level. And even at the citizenry level, one would struggle to speak in the positive when people throw rubbish into recycling bins. What does that sort of behaviour say about us as a society?
Singapore is a work in progress, and there are entrenched mindsets that take time to change. Among younger Singaporeans that I talk to, I see a lot of grounds for hopefulness about environmental issues and, you know, pro-environmental behavior, because I mean there's a much greater consciousness of that, and I think a lot of younger people really get it that this is kind of an existential issue. I mean, Singapore could be very badly affected by rising sea levels with global warming, so a lot of younger people get it. And there are also many older people I speak to who do get it, but I think there are still some entrenched mindsets that will take time to change now. And you raised a very good point about how people should not always look to that vertical relationship with the government and say, okay, the solution is, you know, I kind of give my feedback and then the government will deliver the right solution and do everything for me. The government will take care of me and I can abdicate my responsibility to be an active citizen. I'm not in any way saying that most Singaporeans do that, but I think in the past there's been that tendency to think in that way, and I think in the past that tendency was encouraged. I think going forward we should totally move away from that abdication of responsibility. I mean, at the end of the day, society and the outcomes are up to us to shape, and we have to play that role. My party in parliament actually supported the carbon tax bill. We feel that there are times when you have to balance the principle against the purely economic considerations, and there are times when you have to think long term rather than short term. And thinking long term is also one of the key things that we have been discussing, you know, in terms of this relationship with the government and so on. I think the longer term future for Singapore has to be one where people do not just give inputs and expect the right solution to come down. I think the right solutions to our problems will be determined by people doing things. If you look at some of the big problems facing Singapore, like a total fertility rate, which is one of the lowest in the world and is an existential issue facing the country. When you look at the TFR rankings, I mean, it's really quite remarkable to see that we are in the bottom five or so countries in the entire world of 200, 220 countries in the whole world. When you look at issues like productivity, when you look at things like innovation, entrepreneurship, the important role that civil society and volunteerism should play, you know, in every developed country, it involves citizens having the confidence to come forward, forge those horizontal relationships and bonds among one another, and actually be a part of the solution. And that also means Singaporeans having the confidence to speak up and make their political views known, having the confidence to join political parties and participate actively in the process, even if it's not in ways that the quote-unquote establishment might approve. There are a lot of buy-in, a lot of internalization of what we need to do. I think that is really the model that we have to move towards. Not just the right solutions coming down from the top, and the top takes care of us, but really we have to take care of the top, and in a way, yeah, and we have to help ourselves and totally step up. Because at the end of the day, if we think in terms of a partnership between the government and the people, I would question whether that's a helpful way of looking at things. The government is the instrument of the people. The government is really just an expression of the sovereignty of the people. You know, it is not for the government to have an equal partnership with the people, because the people are sovereign. It's not a partnership of equals. It's really up to the people to say, these are the outcomes I want. This is the political ecosystem I want. This is the kind of government I want. This is the kind of society I want. You know?
So, Leon, armed with positivity, oodles of positivity, what do you look forward to?
I look forward to a country where everyone feels confident they have a voice. Everyone, not just people who want to articulate certain kinds of views, but everyone feels confident they have a voice. I look forward to a country where everyone feels confident they have a choice, where we have a socio-political landscape that is balanced, where there are alternatives, so that there is a real and meaningful choice. I look forward to a future where the national narrative is not just about harking back to past glories and obsessing with that, where the national narrative does not assume that the strategies that worked in the past will be the strategies that will continue to work in the future. In fact, we may need very different strategies, sometimes even the reverse of what we did in the past. And above all, I think for the people of Singapore, the challenges that we face in the future are going to involve everyone to be a part of that solution. It's not only about getting policies right, it's about getting social, communal, life, civil society, the private sector right as well. So I hope that the future will be something that Singaporeans run towards. I hope that Singaporeans dare to dream, and they run towards the dreams with confidence, rather than the future being something which we run towards because we're running away from something that we fear. So I would say that would be my vision.
This has been Mackerel Moments. You can read and listen to more of our stories on our website, mackerel.life. Until next time, thanks for listening.